There is a lot in that passage. And I invite us all to take just a breath and a moment to let those words wash over us as we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in our gospel lesson this morning, one scholar talks about how Jesus is pointing to and challenging us to live as though the realm is here and now. That is the heavenly realm where none thirst, where none have need, where there is no war, no earthly conflict, but only desire for connection with the truest, most awesome, and amazing glory that is God. A place where the desire for true and authentic connection with one another reigns supreme, and that realm where the good of the community comes before the good of the individual. Trying to understand or even make sense of this heavenly realm might actually be like me trying to explain my favorite TV show, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, to you all. Or it might be someone here trying to explain the glory of classic rock to me. Or why one can't root for Michigan and Michigan State today. Sometimes there are issues that are far too complex for human understanding. But they still matter. However, unlike TV shows and music preferences and sports fandom, the case of the realm is one of those essentials that Jesus is really trying to get the point across. It's one of those essentials that he's trying to connect us to work towards, illuminating our own understanding. Typically, when I think of the heavenly realm, I contemplate and reflect on the places where the divine reality and earthly one meet but are still separate. Places where we catch glimpses of the chorus of angels or where we sit in the very presence of the God who created us. The places where we pass through the veil and we feel the divine energy washing over us. In this passage, however, Jesus is calling us to more than just passing through those thin places, as we refer to them as. He's calling us to connection with the realm that is far more visceral, embodied, and incarnate. The life, the interactions, the relationships that we have with one another and the world can become real, true expressions of the realm in this world. And for Christ, there are places where the two, the earthly and the heavenly, are not distinct or separate, but they are one. So Jesus taught with parables and difficult lessons, deep metaphors, but he also taught by example. Not only did he preach the heavenly realm and the blessings it contained, but he lived them. And maybe you're the skeptic or the cynic, but wondering the questions, well, what does he know about us now, 2,000 years later? What does he know about our situation in the 21st century? Furthermore, how do we relate to the stories of life in first century Jewish-Palestinian culture under imperial rule? How do we connect with people who lived thousands of years ago experiencing dramatic economic, social, and political disparities? How do we connect with folks experiencing a broken world striving to meet their basic needs when everything seemed stacked against them? How do we connect with the suffering and the frailty of the human spirit and listen to the words of our gospel this morning here and now? Let's look at the title of this particular passage, because the very title offers us something very telling about what these words are trying to portray and connect. This passage is Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount, only it doesn't take place in a high place. It takes place on a beach, And in fact, in Luke, it's called the Sermon on the Plain. So when you think of a title like Sermon on the Plain, what sort of images come to mind? We do have the beach. But I think of expansive pastures, the great pastoral paintings of fields of wheat, what I remember Kansas and Nebraska were like driving out to Colorado. I think of two-lane highways, colors of gold, beiges, yellows, some light greens, perhaps a distinct horizon with pastel blue skies, light, fluffy, happy little clouds, as the painter Bob Ross would describe. And the scene feels like, even in a painting, you can look for miles and miles and never see the end. But the Greek word used for plain has meanings of a level place. And the word level place refers to the places of corpses, disgrace, idolatry, suffering, misery, hunger, annihilation. In some of the prophets from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, according to Ronald J. Allen, the Sermon on the Plain and the word used for plain has meanings of a level place and often refers to the places of corpses, disgrace, idolatry, suffering, misery, hunger, annihilation, and mourning. And this is where the Sermon on the Plain takes place for Luke. Kind of gives us a bit of a different perspective, doesn't it? A little bit disorienting, a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit just not feeling so great about it. So while Jesus is surrounded by the crowds full of brokenness, suffering, the depravity and the anguish human hearts have experienced, here Jesus has the audacity and the gumption to say, "Blessed are the poor and the hungry. Oh, and while you're at it, pray for your enemies." But what does he know? What does Jesus know about being in the presence of his enemies, of being poor and being hungry? For that matter, what does God know about being poor, about being hungry, about being in the presence of enemies, those who would rather take their livelihoods and life than to honor it and proclaim it as blessed, and then being asked to pray for them? What do they know? Need I remind you of Christmas, where Jesus was born? A manger with all the funky smells and sounds and messes that animals make. Or how Jesus was born to an underwed teenage mother with virtually no rights, power, or social standing given her gender and circumstance. Or how his parents fled with him in their arms to Egypt, seeking refuge at the threat of infanticide by an imperial king. Or the fact that Jesus grew up the son of a carpenter, a laborer, given all that. God incarnate, love incarnate, wherever your understanding of Jesus' divinity is, Jesus might know something about what it means to exist, live, suffer, and survive on the plain. Jesus might know what it means to live, exist, suffer, and survive on the level places, what it means to live, exist, suffer, and survive in the places of corpses, mourning, suffering, misery, hunger, idolatry. That is to say, Jesus might know something about what it means to be human. And we can relate, because we are living on the plain. I would be hard-pressed to believe that if you were to take a poll of any people asking the question, is our world broken, you would get more no's than yeses. I would be hard-pressed to believe that there would be more no's than yeses to that question. We are recipients of the Sermon on the Plain. Christ is teaching us and showing us the way. For Christ to not only preach this message of blessing in the midst of brokenness, but to live out grace, offer mercy, show compassion, feed hungry bodies and spirits, and love in ways that we cannot begin to comprehend how. This message gives us, rather, it grants us a unique and powerful glimpse into the foretaste of the heavenly realm. The places where the divine and the earthly are not so separated by that veil, but where they have merged and become one. The fact that Luke identifies the plain, the level places where God, in and through Jesus Christ, chooses to minister, gives us a vision that maybe it's about more than just being able to see through that veil into the heavenly realm. That maybe, just maybe, it's about living it now. Even in, and especially in the broken places, that we might know warmth, that we might know safety, that we might know love, that we might know compassion and mercy and justice. Even on the plain. Amen.